Hey, and welcome back to Docs Who Lift podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Spencer Nadolski, and I got my co-host here, the greatest endocrinologist to walk the planet, Dr. Carl Nadolski. Today Hello. Is actually a really, really important podcast because we're going to be talking about adrenal fatigue, and it's important. You know, I'm pretty well versed in it. I'm a memologist, You know, I think I'm specialized in understanding it, but we have a true endocrinologist here to where we can get into the real depths of understanding why adrenal fatigue is actually not a real diagnosis. So let's talk about it. Dr. Carl, my brother.
So first of all, I'd like to call you out a second because I think people will be entertained by it. I remember I was in residency several years ago now, amazingly, internal medicine residency. And that's when we all start to get a little addicted to coffee back then. And you were, I think, genuinely concerned about my health because you thought I was going to get adrenal fatigue from too much coffee. So obviously, you know now that that's not true. And but the real question I actually have, because I don't really remember, is where did you even hear of it and how did you even, like, think that was a thing? Because you were in med school, obviously you were still, you know, learning stuff, and you know, we're always learning, right? And that's why even doctors are kind of getting tricked by this term.
I'm sure I had a few mentors. There are a few mentors that were like, oh yeah, you can really burn out your adrenal glands. And I'm just like, you know, I'm just learning. So I'm kind of like, all right. You know, I started looking into it, and I, you know, we're going to talk about this a little bit. I went down the whole rabbit hole of doing multiple different types of testing and trying to figure out if this is a real thing. And as you start learning about the pathophysiology and how things work in the body and how you get diseases and all sorts of stuff, it became quite clear that this wasn't actually a thing. We'll talk about this. So can you talk about like the physiology of how our adrenal glands are supposed to work, and maybe we can talk about this idea of what actually is this proposed idea of adrenal fatigue?
Yeah. So, you know, I like to tell patients, that cortisol that comes from our adrenal glands, it comes from our adrenal cortex, is like our stress hormone. It does a lot of things in general, kind of for patient terms. You know, it's anti-inflammatory. That's why, you know, we always talk about NSAIDs, right? Non-steroidal anti-inflammatories like ibuprofen and naproxen and these things. Well, cortisol is our body's actual steroidal anti-inflammatory. It plays a role in regulating blood pressure, keeping blood pressure up. It increases blood sugar, and we do have some real serious diseases that cause too much cortisol, and that causes a whole host of problems. It causes muscle wasting. It's not great for our metabolism or metabolic health. It increases that abdominal obesity that we've talked about, increasing the metabolic consequences of that, you know, bad lipids and high blood pressure, increases the risk of diabetes, and then, you know, causes all, it's bad for bones if it's too high, but we really, really need it. So if your adrenal glands don't work, and that's called adrenal insufficiency, then we have some serious issues, you know, that physicians listening to this are very familiar with. For patients, it needs to be understood that there needs to be a good physiologic health for our adrenal glands, specifically for the cortisol component of it. Depending on how deep people want to go, you know, we have to look back up into our brain area, our hypothalamus, that is signaling to our pituitary that makes something called adrenocorticotropic hormone, ACTH. I tell patients that's like our cortisol stimulating hormone that goes to that adrenal cortex that then stimulates the adrenal glands to make cortisol, and there's what we call a negative feedback, so it keeps it in balance. I put that in quotes, air quotes, because a lot of people.
So we have some stress. We get some stress,
and
our brain we sense it. Our brain senses it. We feel it, and it sends a signal to our adrenal glands, which sit on top of our kidneys, to say, "Hey, you got to make some cortisol to help with all these things my brother's talking about." to help us deal with the stress.
Yeah, and so it's very important for acute stressors, you know, if we're sick or if we get injured. But it also goes up with like chronic stress, and that's even just like people being stressed out, stressful situations in life. And there are some like real physiologically elevated levels of cortisol that happens from some of these things. PTSD, for example, increases our physiologic levels of stress. And there's all sorts of other ways it gets regulated. But
if you don't have cortisol, like you said, with something called adrenal insufficiency, what happens if we don't make any cortisol?
So there are two general areas where that could be a problem. If our pituitary gland isn't stimulating our adrenal cortex, or if the adrenal cortex is not working. If the adrenal gland itself is not working, we lose both the cortisol and also the aldosterone. That's the mineral corticoid, and that's really important for blood pressure. And so going into adrenal crisis from what that's called primary adrenal insufficiency, you have really low blood pressure, lightheadedness, and your whole system can collapse. That's called an adrenal crisis. Very, very, very dangerous. People who have diabetes and are on insulin, they can have hypoglycemia with that. Very dangerous. When it's the pituitary, it's not quite as dramatic because the mineral corticoid, the aldosterone, still works. I know this gets a little funky for you know, patients listening, but it's really bad if you have true adrenal insufficiency. The most common being, by the way, the most common cause of too much cortisol and the most common cause of too little cortisol is when people are on chronic medications that are glucocorticoids or corticosteroids that are like cortisol, like prednisone, dexamethasone. Sometimes it can happen even from inhaled steroids or rarely topical steroids. That gets a little complicated. So those are the most common causes of these problems, actually.
Yeah. So the aldosterone is, for anybody listening, it regulates our electrolytes, potassium and sodium. And that's important too. So, and then we got the mineral corticoids and the glucocorticoids, like the cortisol. And then we can take drugs that mimic these things, prednisone, dexamethasone, as my brother said. So this is kind of setting up what we see as true pathological diseases and issues. You can have a tumor in your brain. You can have other things where the blood, there's issues with your brain stem and all these different things, the communication between your brain. Then you can just have an autoimmune disease called Addison's disease where your body attacks your own adrenal glands. Very serious diseases. So this brings us to this idea and concept of adrenal fatigue. This chiropractor, I could be wrong, could have been a naturopath. I never remember. It doesn't really matter. But this person, the guy came up with this idea that Americans, well, people in general, it doesn't have to be Americans per se, but people in general are very stressed out. Stress increases our release of cortisol, as my brother just described. Brains perceiving stress sends the signal down to our adrenal glands, makes cortisol. The idea was that we're so stressed all the time that eventually our adrenal glands are just burning out. They're not working as well. They're becoming fatigued. And this is why people are sick, feeling just horrible, because obviously if you're not really making appropriate amounts of cortisol anymore, as my brother stated in the physiology, we don't feel as well. And this is actually, it seems kind of plausible, right? It seems like, well, gosh, if we can do other things and burn out certain organs because we're using them too much. You know, I think never mind. I was going to make a joke about using our organs too much and burning them out, but whatever.
Burned out.
But anyway, the idea is plausible. Yeah, the idea is plausible that we could burn out our organs. But this actually doesn't happen. And this is funny. I just, a memory popped up. It was about 10 years ago. One of my first ever memes.
Yeah,
is, I was going to share it too. One's adrenal glands do not simply fatigue. There have been multiple studies on this in the past where maybe you can describe this. We do, when you're looking for adrenal insufficiency made by either from the pituitary gland issue or from the adrenal gland itself, Can you describe what we do in those cases, the ACTH stim or the what's called a cosentropin test?
Yeah, so we'll go through it a little bit. I mean, first of all, if you have real adrenal insufficiency, and you mentioned Addison's autoimmune disease, in other parts of the world, there are other fairly common causes like infiltrative disease, tuberculosis. It can happen when people have bleeding disorders and they hemorrhage. Yeah. And also surgeries, right? And like I said, the most common cause is if you've just been on steroids for a long time and your pituitary gland isn't stimulating your adrenal glands and they're not working. But if you have real adrenal insufficiency, especially if it's primary, then people are going to present with extreme fatigue. They're going to be losing weight. Which a lot of times the people who think they have adrenal fatigue are oftentimes gaining weight, and we can talk about that. It's generally associated with low blood pressure, lightheadedness, losing weight, and you actually get tan because of how the feedback mechanism up in the hypothalamic pituitary axis works, increasing our melanin. And so if our cortisol should be up in the morning, right? So it should be high when we first wake up. I tell patients it's kind of one of our wake-up hormones to some degree. And so the first way we often look at it is we just get a first thing in the morning before you eat, fasting cortisol level. And then if we really are suspicious, you know, we'll get that ACTH, the cortisol stimulating hormone, and we'll get something else called a DHEAS, which is kind of like the male androgen hormone that comes from one of the other parts of the adrenal cortex, because that's also under stimulation of ACTH. And if you have a low cortisol in the morning, without getting too into like binding protein issues and stuff, and especially if your DHEAS is I won't get into that too much. But basically, if your cortisol is low, you have adrenal insufficiency. Then you can look at the ACTH and DHEAS, and that can help you know is it your adrenal glands that are a problem, or is it your hypothalamus and pituitary gland? Now, if that cortisol really, and this number has changed, but if it's above 12 or 14 micrograms per deciliter, those are the units, then you don't have adrenal insufficiency. Now, if it's somewhere in between really low, like less than 3 micrograms per deciliter and 14 or 12 or 14, and you have high suspicion, that's when we can do that cosentropin stim. Cosentropin is just essentially like bioidentical ACTH, the cortisol stimulating hormone. So we give a dose of that.
Basically, it's the signal coming from your brain. It mimics the signal from your brain to try to stimulate your adrenal gland.
Yeah, and so this is kind of the current standard. I'm not going to call it the gold standard because there are some other ways to do it that we compare it to. But it should go up over that number of 14. We used to say 18, by the way. I'll bet you, especially like in primary care, you probably don't care that much, but really we're starting to learn that the number needs to be a little bit lower for our threshold to call it adrenal insufficiency. There is one little caveat. If you have like relatively recent onset of pituitary disease, or if it's from recent chronic steroids, remember your adrenal glands will still respond to that ACTH. So you could get a false negative if you're thinking central or that pituitary.
So this is important to set up because in adrenal fatigue, the idea is that your adrenal glands don't work anymore. But if you give these patients who are coming in that are allegedly have adrenal fatigue as diagnosed, somehow diagnosed, by the way, we can talk about how they're trying to diagnose these people. You go to some quack and they go, you got adrenal fatigue because of whatever reason that they said.
Because they say everyone has adrenal fatigue.
First of all, you check a morning cortisol. It's going to be likely normal. It could be on the low end of normal, and you go, okay, maybe we have a suspicion. But most of the time, it's normal. What the quack's going to say, nope, it's subclinical. It doesn't matter. So then you give them a cosentropin test. Their adrenal glands work perfectly fine. Now, it's very important that we say right here, we're not saying that you're not tired. You're absolutely tired. We're not calling anybody liars from their fatigue. We guarantee you're fatigued. We know it. Yeah. You're saying it. You're complaining about it. We know you're fatigued. What we don't want to do is say that you have some disease that you don't have and try to treat something that's fake.
Right.
And the reason these people do it, I mean, look, I think they're predators, these people. It's either that or they really think they're helping you. I don't know. I think a lot of these people are predators.
Generally speaking, you're right. You know, that's an interesting point, because there's no way all the people that talk about adrenal fatigue are actually out to, like, be predators. I think a lot of people are being duped,
right.
even doctors. Doctors, chiropractors, you know, anybody, they're not all out to cause problems, but they're being duped too. We know plenty of real physicians who talk about this. Like you said, it was your mentors maybe that mentioned it.
I've also gotten in a few Facebook arguments with a few doctors about it, because they were saying, no, you need to give these people hydrocortisone, which is a kind of the physiological doses that mimics your own cortisol.
Yeah, it's basically your bioidentical cortisol.
And it'll make these people feel better. So the deal is, there's no adrenal fatigue, but you are feeling tired. So why do these people come up with this? So they will do what's called a diurnal salivary cortisol test. And my brother can go into where salivary cortisol is validated, which is for nighttime salivary to rule out Cushing's disease, which is, he described earlier, as pathologically too much cortisol. But these people should say, no, look, you can see that their diurnal just means all during the day, the pattern of how much cortisol they're producing in a day. It, of course, as my brother said, it should be the most elevated in the morning, and then slowly throughout the day it should go down. And what they've come up with are these various patterns of alleged adrenal fatigue, none of which is validated, standardized. And I'm going to tell you a story. I did three of these tests at the same time back when I thought, maybe this is a real thing. I did three of these tests from three different companies.
And these are the ones that the quacks promote and sell, by the way, right?
The quacks. I got the most commonly used ones. I spit in all of them. I go poop, 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 spit, 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 all of them, and sent them all in to the various labs. They all came back all over the place. One said I had adrenal fatigue. The other one said I'm making too much cortisol. The other one said I was just right. It was almost like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. I don't know.
Yeah.
maybe one of them was correct. I felt fine at the time, of course. So clearly, you have to have these what we call pretest probabilities of, like, yeah, you don't just test normal, fine people on random stuff, but...
Which is another lesson for another day, by the way.
It goes to show that, like, how are these tests even being used? None of which is validated. They're just coming up with things and just calling it pathological. And then what they're going to do is try to sell you on some supplements or some sort of plan. What we found is that, my brother gets tons of referrals. I see this all the time in with my primary care. Not so much in my obesity practice, but primary care, people are saying they were diagnosed with it. My brother sees it all the time. The thing is, these people truly are feeling tired. And what we've found is that there tends to be a very significant reason for their fatigue that has nothing to do with whether their adrenals are, once in a while, maybe there's a true Addison's disease or something.
Right.
But it's not as common. Those people present pretty classically. But we usually find things like sleep apnea, obstructive sleep apnea, sometimes thyroid disease, sometimes anemia. A lot of times what I see mostly is...
Oh, I was just going to say, this is, like, I think probably the most important point that we can get to is that it's so ironic that the people pushing adrenal fatigue, and they say everyone who comes with fatigue has adrenal fatigue, but they always try to say that they're looking for the root cause of everything. But then they just give these blanket statements of not even a real disease. Ironically, we as physicians and other people trying to help patients actually need to get to the real root cause of their fatigue. The fatigue's real. Adrenal fatigue's not real. We need to get to the root cause. And it's so ironic. It drives me crazy.
Right. So what they'll put these patients on, rhodiola, ashwagandha, sometimes licorice, which has a mechanism to change your kidney's metabolism of cortisol. and they'll stock them up on these types of supplements. The patients will, sometimes they feel a little bit better, sometimes not. But oftentimes, too, I see I do my silly little starter packs on Instagram, like the reason you're feeling like crap starter pack. And it's a lot of times you're waking up, you didn't sleep that well, so you're pounding the coffee all throughout the day. That's not fatiguing your adrenal glands, but then because of that, then you're drinking some wine at night, you're staying up watching Netflix, and then you're not sleeping well. Yeah. And the pattern repeats and repeats and repeats, and now you're not feeling well. Okay, yeah. Let's say you fixed all that, you're still not feeling well, or there's other signs. Well, we see, obviously, with obesity, we see a ton of undiagnosed obstructive sleep apnea, which will cause significant fatigue. Just significant.
You want to know what's ironic about that, too? You want to know what else obstructive sleep apnea and poor sleep will do? It'll actually increase levels of cortisol. So it's kind of the opposite.
Right,
so
yeah.
Chronic elevations of cortisol, which is also not good.
Yeah, and it's, of course, you know, my brother... We both see a lot of thyroid disease, which can be, you know, not super common, but common enough that we should be screening for it and looking for it. Sometimes anemia, a lot of it's just lifestyle related. And yes, what a lot of these quacks will do is they'll charge you $3,000 for their special lifestyle plan to heal your adrenal glands, when in fact it may work because it's actually doing the things I just told you about. It's improving your lifestyle. But the harm in it is that they made you think it was some adrenal gland thing, which then pathologizes it. It makes you feel like there was something broken within inside you. And then that can perpetuate by telling other people, yeah, I see, I had adrenal fatigue, and other people think that they have adrenal fatigue. It wasn't their adrenal glands. We can do all sorts of special tests to realize that your adrenal glands do work. We do need to fix your lifestyle, though, number one, if that's an issue. And we do need to find the underlying cause, if the lifestyle is fine.
Those are the most important points.
I think that's our biggest takeaway.
What else do people have questions about, adrenal fatigue? There are some good resources out there that we can refer to people if they want to read more about this. But
yeah. The Endocrine Society has a few. There's a few good things out there. Hormones Demystified does a good little thing on it. Now,
yeah, that's an endocrinologist who stays somewhat anonymous, by the way.
Yeah. So the other thing is
he or she is pretty great.
So the other thing people say is, well, no, it's called hypothalamic dysfunction, hypothalamic axis dysfunction, HPA dysfunction. And so, yes, lifestyle can absolutely disrupt all of your endocrine axes, including, you know, your testosterone, and people start changing with their periods, with their ovarian axis and everything like that. But adrenals can get disrupted. The communication between your brain and adrenals can get disrupted by changes, lack in sleep, and chronic stress. But again, the underlying issue isn't taking exogenous steroid. It's not necessarily taking a Band-Aid of ashwagandha or rhodiola. Those things may make you feel a little bit better. I honestly wouldn't put the Band-Aid on. I would fix the underlying cause of it. And
interestingly, you know, because we see this so much and the, you know, people are always pushing the ashwagandha and stuff, I've looked into it a little bit. I don't know how much literature review you've done on it, but I did find that while it really doesn't have anything to do with any hormones, other than there was some study that someone cited where it slightly improved guys' testosterone somehow, but it does seem to have some benefits just for just general stress reduction, almost like an anxiety medication. Right. So people who have chronic stress, ironically, which probably actually is increasing all their cortisol levels, maybe the ashwagandha does have some benefit there. I'm not telling people to take it, but because there's probably other things we got to do more lifestyle related, but still, it's a for what it's worth.
There's a perceived, same with rhodiola. There can be this perceived stress. So if you don't have this heightened amount of stress as much while you're taking one of these, they call them adaptogens, you know, maybe there's some benefit. I wouldn't go, okay, this is what's going to fix you. I would still try to find the underlying cause. There's some good literature about depression and all some of these psychiatric conditions that also change your hypothalamic pituitary axis function, so the communication between your brain and your adrenal glands. Interestingly enough, some of the SSRIs may change and help you adapt to some of that as well, these like things like fluoxetine or Prozac. And I'm not saying you need to take those, but it may be your fatigue could be an underlying psychiatric condition. That doesn't mean it's in your head. It's a real thing as well. So all this is to say that,
you know, there's also that condition called chronic fatigue syndrome. And, you know, even in endocrine journals, they've talked about hypothalamic pituitary axis dysfunction in chronic fatigue syndrome when there's not something else going on, but it's treated with lifestyle. And really, it kind of is, again, not so much of an insufficiency dysfunction. It's more of a chronic elevation. I mean, you know, other conditions that just physiologically increase cortisol are often the things that make people think they have adrenal fatigue, you know, like chronic alcoholism, chronic stress, physical stress, illness, hospitalization, surgeries. We talked about the sleep and you know, continued psychological stress, including severe major depression. Sometimes people can get falsely positive screens for when we're looking for too much cortisol in those conditions. And that's also pretty ironic.
Yeah. They've done some studies with chronic fatigue syndrome. They're actually maybe changing the name of that, but they've looked at giving hydrocortisone, like my brother said, like the basically bioidentical cortisol, and with mixed results, nothing really showing benefit there. So it's an interesting stuff. But honestly, like if someone says you have adrenal fatigue and they, you know, that's their diagnosis, I would get a new doctor. I would look for other underlying causes. You know, and sometimes your primary care doesn't have enough time to figure out the cause, and you know, you may have to go to a few different doctors. It's life as a doctor can be pretty tough, so try not to take it too much out on your doctor. As a system can be quite bad, but we do recommend obviously taking a look at your lifestyle, take a real true audit of your sleeping habits. Do you have a partner who can tell if you're snoring, having like these apneic events where you sound like you're stopping breathing in the middle of the night? Get appropriate thyroid testing and red blood cell testing, hemoglobin, hematocrit, that type of thing. And then, you know, if you're still feeling tired and all this stuff, you know, continue to look, discuss with the different options, but don't accept adrenal fatigue as a diagnosis, please. Yeah.
Make sure you get with your healthcare team and find the root cause and actually treat the underlying issue that's causing the fatigue. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. That's it for this episode. Thanks. And please tell your friends, subscribe if you have not yet, share, and we'll see you on the next episode.
See ya.